This is Brian Talon kicking off yet another Here Comes Trouble adventure, reporting from KCIW Community Radio. Today we're here at the Gold Beach Sheriff's Office, where Gold Beach Mayor Carl Popoff will be doing a ride-along with the Sheriff's Deputy. Do we have a name of that deputy yet?
Jared.
So, Jared, you're going to be driving the mayor?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. And how long, Jared, have you been with the police department?
Just about 8 years.
8 years.
Sheriff's Department.
Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff's Office.
Yeah. The
I've never been in here before, but I've driven by many times, and it just looks unassuming. I mean, it's big, it's blockish and all that, stated. Welcome, Mayor Carl. To kick things off, I'd like to see if you can give us an idea as to why you decided to do this ride-along today.
First of all, I think it's important. The importance being maintaining law enforcement, the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Office. You know, there are an awful lot of different reasons. I guess one of the biggest reasons as well, too, is that my association with the Sheriff's Department goes back a long ways. For many years, I was the chaplain here. I love these guys, what they do. I've ridden with them in the past. I haven't for quite some time now. Last person I rode with was John Seavey, and John has been retired for quite some time now. I don't want to see a population that is without law enforcement protection. I don't want to see property values go down. Give you a real quick sound bite right now, if you don't mind.
Absolutely not.
A few days ago, well, actually, it was a week before last, our police chief, Dixon Andrews, told me that somebody from Portland had phoned him up. And this person was interested in buying a very expensive property in Nasika Beach.
Right.
But he had also read of the difficulties that our sheriff's department was facing and our county in general was facing.
Right.
And his question to our sheriff or to our chief of police, was, if I get in trouble out there, will you come? And our chief had to say no. So people, I don't really believe that they understand that they may think that they'll be okay, but the full impact of what it'll mean not to have adequate law enforcement protection out there, they may not even be able to sell their homes if they want to. Mm-hmm. So there are, Brian, there are myriad reasons.
So who's covering the police, the safety for the people that live out in Nasika right now? Nasika's not that far north.
But Sheriff is one.
Right. Do you do what they call an assist, where other departments?
And this is something that we were talking about, the lieutenant and I were talking about, not so terribly long ago, well, actually just prior to you guys arriving. And we have a mutual agreement type of thing, but more than that, if one of our officers is in trouble, I know that he can count on a sheriff's deputy arriving to assist him. That is mutual. If there's a sheriff's deputy out there who's finding himself in a difficult situation, he calls dispatch, and we've got an officer, and if that officer doesn't respond, I'll personally kick his butt off the force. The point is that this mutual thing is something very, very important for the safety of both our officers and for the sheriff's department.
Absolutely.
So we do. Yes, we do. And the guys know, and in the past, unless I'm wrong, Sheriff, they have always been very good at reciprocating. So, yes, we will assist them. But if there is no sheriff's department out there at that time, no deputies patrolling, we cannot send, because we only have one on patrol a lot of times. We can't, in all good consciousness, unless it's a murder or something else going on out there, go out to respond to a call that then leaves our citizens without protection.
I was thinking too, neighborhood watch programs. Do you have anything like that, or?
Not really, not here in Old Beach. They do in Brookings. In
fact, they do in Brookings, right?
Is the only place within the county that has 24-hour protection.
Right. Well, I can't speak for the sheriff's department there, but I know being a Brookings resident and also a former Brookings first responder, we do the assist program. But I know the sheriff's department and Brookings Police Department, due to budget cuts, we're having some difficulties there as well. But again, I can't speak for them. This is some observations that I've made. But when it comes down to a tragedy or something that's life-threatening, regardless, they're still going to go and assist each other.
Exactly.
And especially the fire department will go there and provide that assistance.
The people forget exactly what we do and how hard my deputies work out there.
Nice.
And for their safety. And with only four deputies in the county right now, it's very hard to provide the service level that we want to be able to provide, that we feel that we should be providing.
Absolutely. I see a lot of the patrol cars that are parked up and down the avenue going in and out, and that is effective deterrent. And also use those signs to remind people their speed limit to slow it down. And we're coming into the summertime. Typically, I know Brookings, I've seen it every year grow denser with traffic. And with traffic comes, you know, your traffic accidents. In Gold Beach, I imagine you guys get a lot of inundation with tourists, and there's other issues that come up with that?
Yeah, of course, the tourist season does impact us, and particularly given that we've got the jet boats, ocean fishing, that type of thing. People in the river fishing as well, of course. That's primarily why we get the tourists that we do get. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know the numbers, but we do have considerably more people in the area present during the summer.
And you got your river rescue, I guess, too? Is that are they stationed?
No, the sheriff's department.
The sheriff's department.
About marine,
right,
marine,
exactly.
Yeah, that's sheriff.
Right, and you made some pretty amazing rescues out there. How many rescues do you imagine you do a year?
Well, this year alone, we've done three that I'm quite aware of that we did save the lives of the people that we rescued. There was a comment on social media one time that we don't need marine deputies because in the ocean, as far as that, because we never do anything in the ocean. That's Coast Guard. Well, here and on the Rogue River, we don't have Coast Guard year-round, and these people recreate here, whether they're going to be Coast Guard here or not, and they try to go over the bar. We have jurisdiction for the first 3 miles out, and we train with search and rescue and our Marine deputies on crossing that bar in rough conditions if we had to, and rescuing people. And we've done a good job at that.
With regards to the Sheriff's Office, what hurdles do you think we have to overcome here in Curry County?
Well, as Lieutenant Espinosa, I think the hurdles that we need to overcome are first and foremost getting a foundational funding measure passed so that we can get our sheriff's office whole, so we can provide that 24-hour service, that we can provide the essential equipment to our staff, that we can have staff that, similar to running a business, have a plan that's long-term, that they're going to receive the proper training, they're going to receive the proper equipment, that we're going to have the appropriate number of resources on a given patrol shift or a given jail shift or on the rivers and marine patrol, and that they'll have backup. Those are the things that we need to overcome. And then, in order to do that, I think we need to create a partnership within all our communities throughout the county, to include the cities, but a partnership to where we recognize that each community throughout the county has expectations, and it's our obligation to meet those expectations, and they should be able to have some communications back with us and work collaboratively with us and letting us know if we're meeting their expectations or not, and then we'll make operational adjustments. And then not just with the other community members, I think that's where we also start working with the other cities, fire departments, and we come up with agreements on that we will cover their officers, that we will provide additional resources when necessary. We've had issues in the city where they've had lost children, that we will be able to provide SAR resources or other resources that we may have that they may not have. Or if we have an issue in the county, that we may use their resources. So I think those relationships are huge, and they're primary. That's exactly what we have to do, is develop those relationships in order to overcome these hurdles, and that people feel good for having a fully funded sheriff's office. They don't see it as something that's unnecessary. They see it as something that's necessary for a healthy community.
Right. Okay. Since I still have you here, Lieutenant Espinosa, one of the things we'd like to ask you is to, if you could tell our KCI friends, KCIW friends, why you decided to join law enforcement. I know that was probably a while ago and you probably don't remember anymore, but if you can give us a brief idea.
No, I remember it well. I've been in law enforcement 23 years, and I started as a practicum student with the Oregon State University, and I was working in the Benton County Jail at that time. And what influenced me was the professionalism of the people that I was around, the way they were treating the people who were incarcerated. And then I took a job in Deschutes County working in the corrections there, and I went on a ride-along, my first ride-along with a person who would eventually become my sergeant. But it was the way that he treated people, it was the way he went about business. I was so impressed, and it was so different than anything that you would see, you know, even in today's media where people have some discussions about law enforcement tactics, law enforcement contacts. And I saw that as a tremendous way to serve my community. The pride and passion that he took in the job was something that I wanted to be a part of. I'd always been a part of athletic teams. I had an A-type personality, so I wanted to get involved in that. And so I really thrived on that. And in a sheriff's office particularly, because you're working in rural areas where you have to know your communities, you have to know your community members, and the expectations for rural policing are pretty high. And I've worked in agencies, Deschutes County at the time was small, but it did grow. But even here, you've got to rely on all your resources because that may be all you have. You got to rely on good communication skills. You got to rely on good officer safety tactics, all those things. And that's what got me into law enforcement and drove me. There's also a huge amount of pride I take in serving our community. You know, there's no problem too small, and if they call us, our job is to respond and be a solid resource.
Thank you. So I just to further expand on that, so when you take your uniform off and you're going home, who is Lieutenant Espinosa? You're out there in the private sector now, you're walking around. What is your persona? Are you still that vigilant peace officer?
I don't think you ever take away the vigilance as a police officer, but I want to be a positive community member. That's the way I see it. I don't try to engage in off-duty activities unless, you know, there's an emergency. But I still think that we in law enforcement have to be positive role models in our community. I've volunteered to coach. I've done different things, and I've also had neighbors come over the house because they know that I'm a police officer. And they want to talk about something, so I take the time to work through problems when they'll call. That's our obligation, in my opinion, and I don't think that goes away once you take the uniform off. And to tell you the truth, even after 23 years, I get excited in the morning to put the uniform on. I'm excited to put it on. I'm excited to wear it. You know, it's something I still feel when I first started 23 years ago. That feeling's never gone away. I love starting that car up. You know, I wake up, I check on, I tell the good dispatcher good morning, and we're going to have a good day. And, you know, we're going to get through this. But when I'm home off duty, you know, I like to leave it behind. I like to leave the stresses, some of the ugliness behind. But I still believe we have a character and a perception that we need to keep within our communities, and they need to be able to trust and respect us on and off duty.
All right, well, let's get back to the mayor, Mayor Carl here. So just kind of give us a quick idea as to why you wanted to do this ride-along today.
Because I wanted to show my support.
Okay.
The Sheriff's Department is certainly worth it. And it's not something that is above and beyond the call. In other words, it's easy to do.
All right.
You know, and on top of that, and just to give Connie some kudos here, and bless her heart, she's the one that put this all together, you know, put a lot of it together. She's the one that asked me, and the dynamo that she is, I'm not about to say no. So
yes, we're all familiar with her.
Yeah. So at any rate, the big reason is, and once again, you know, like I said, these guys are worth it to me. They're almost, to me, even though I have not been the chaplain since 2000, it's still like a family to me in many ways, and I'm still exceptionally concerned about their welfare. And the sheriff and I go back way, way back. Whatever he needs, whatever help he needs, I'll definitely do whatever I can. So to me, this is an honor. It's not not something that I'm being forced to do. It is something that I take a great deal of pleasure out of, and consider it an honor for them to ask me.
Thank you. Connie, let's bring you, yes.
I wanted to make sure I introduced Deputy Gray.
Yeah.
He's going to be our ride-along host, I guess.
All right.
So, Deputy Gray, say hey and
yes.
Let Hello. Us know what's up.
I apparently have the honor of taking the mayor out this evening. I've known the mayor for most of my life. I grew up with and around several of his children. So I've seen him throughout the community growing up. You know, it's a small community. Everybody knows each other.
Right.
We all kind of watch each other's backs, you know, and that's just, you know, even city police, county police, we're all more or less a family. We have different aspects that we do, but, you know, we all are working towards the same goal and whatnot.
So, why don't you give them a typical day for you? What happens when you come on duty, and what happens during their day?
Well, typically, come on duty. If there's nothing immediate, urgent that I have to respond to, I try and come to the office, see what kind of calls are waiting, calls for service that are waiting, check on anything that needs immediate attention. If there's anything needs immediate attention, either respond to those or try and get to as many people and at least let them know that I will be trying to contact them either over the phone or, you know, let them know where I'm at. And a lot of the times, you know, we're lone deputies. So we have from Langlois to California, which is a huge area. Just to drive that can take, you know, an hour to 2 hours, one way, two way. And a lot of times, you know, a simple phone call is all we can give people because of the lack of, you know, other resources to handle calls, you know, because we have emergency situations that come up before we can get to other calls in the community and whatnot. So we at least try and touch base with them and let them know that we're going to get to them as soon as we can.
So is the mayor going to be sitting in the front seat or the back seat?
Well, we'll see how the night goes.
See how interesting that looks like when he's going down the road.
I'm hoping the back seat of the car.
I'm definitely hoping it's the front seat. Well, the thing is that, you know, and this is a real pleasure for me to be riding with Jared, because I've known his mom, dad, his family for many, many years. Think the world of both of them. You know, this young man is as far as I'm concerned, this type of officer that I like to see on forces, you know. And so this actually, once again, this is sort of a double pleasure for me. Right. Not only can I do something for the sheriff, whom I have a great deal of affection for anyway, but also to ride around with a young man who has, you know, turned out the way he has. I think that's super.
Is it fair to ask how many sheriffs you have?
You mean deputies?
Deputies.
We've got one sheriff.
One sheriff. How many deputies do we have on staff currently?
I have four road deputies on staff, one in the academy right now, so I actually have five.
Okay.
I'm going to try to pull one out of dispatch, which I have to replace that position as well.
Right.
And then I have just a few of us in admin for supervision. And there's 12 corrections officers. I have two Marine deputies and one detective and one force deputy.
Is that, how did you put that? Is that, are we staffed at levels that we need to be at?
Oh, absolutely not.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
Give me an idea. And this is just prior to the sheriff being on, so I remember a little bit differently than what he does. But back in 1985, 86, when I first started as a chaplain here and what have you, we had memory serves me correct, 17 or 18 road deputies alone, And we had three stationed in Port Orford. Now, Port Orford at the time, it has to be remembered, they were contracting with the Sheriff's Department. It wasn't until a little later on that they got their own department. But nevertheless, there were something like 17, 18. I think the sheriff remembers something like 16. I'm not too sure. But now we're down to this. We had 24-hour protection back then.
Right.
We had, people were being protected. You know, there was always, you were never that far away from a deputy. Mm-hmm. And now, I'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about, Brian. Agnes. Are you familiar with Agnes?
Yes. Okay. It's quite a ways up.
Yeah, it is quite a ways up, but it falls direct, you know, falls within this county. Agnes during the summer, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know if the sheriff and the lieutenant would agree with me or not, but that area could use a full-time deputy there all by itself.
Yes.
All by itself. It's almost turned in some ways kind of a lawless little place. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is with just those few deputies that we've got, you know, we're reliant quite a bit on tourism. People come out here to camp. You know, they come up from California. They come from other places as well, too. And they want to be able to camp. They may even like to go to Agnes, Cougar Lane, and all of that. Go out there and camp there as well, too. They may even take some of the lodges like Tututon and what have you. But they're up out of city's jurisdiction. They're in the county.
Right.
All right. How many people are going to start looking for other places to do their recreation when they find out that their families could be in jeopardy in the middle of those woods because we don't have anybody close enough to get to or come to?
No, I totally understand that. Yep.
Where are they going to take? Where they're going to take their tourism dollars? How's that going to impact us?
Right.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I certainly wouldn't take my family out camping, not knowing that, or knowing that if we got into trouble, we're totally on our own. Mm-hmm. We're totally on our own. You might as well forget trying to get a hold of law enforcement.
All right.
Yeah. One other thing too, Brian. I think that needs to be mentioned. We haven't done much of that so far. And that's the jail itself.
Right.
How important that is to not only the county, but to each and every one of the cities, all three of us, how important that jail is, how important it is to remain staffed, fully staffed.
Right.
If you want a dangerous place at times, I mean a consistently dangerous place, potentially dangerous place, consistently potential dangerous.
Right.
All right. That jail. And those corrections officers, they're back there with some of these people who really don't give a darn about anything whatsoever. The last thing in the world they care about is you and your safety.
Right.
And they're the ones that are in charge of that. They're the ones that have to maintain order. They have to ensure that these guys stay where they're supposed to be able to stay or where they're meant to stay. And without that type of thing, and sometimes the sheriff has only got, say, like maybe even one deputy in there, that is dangerous.
So what needs to be done to get this?
We need to pass this levy. That's what needs to be done. We need to be able to set up a funding district for the sheriff's department so we don't run into that, so that we can keep the bad guys off the street.
Right.
We can't do it now. We can't do that the way that he wants it done. The way he wants done, or the way I want it done. Mm-hmm.
So,
to be able to ensure that, they need a decent, livable, workable fund basis to do it with. And I hope that people begin to see this and understand the importance and not be so short-sighted that they don't understand that. Sure, they can go ahead and arrest them. They might be able to, even with the four deputies, five deputies on the road. But unless it meets a certain criteria, what have you, they're going to have to let them go.
And what I'm thinking right now is my concerns are for the deputies out there. What if you're going to a dispute. What do you call that kind of dispute?
Domestic. Well, there's domestic.
Domestic,
dispute.
Right. Those are probably the most violent ones you can come across because usually there's alcohol related to it. But how do you get backup? You know, your deputy shows up, he or she's all by themselves at the school.
Well, I don't let the sheriff, lieutenant, what have you, speak of that, but I do know from other experience, if there's no one else out there, and if you can't get somebody from the city, you'll either have to call somebody out that is off. In other words, the sheriff or the lieutenant or somebody's going to have to go out and back him up. But in the process of doing that, what's going to take place? A passage of time.
Right.
And it may be too late.
Exactly.
It may be too late.
Right.
For them to get ready and prepare, because they can't just jump into their cars. The same thing with our police department. They can't just jump into their cars and go chasing off after something. They aren't, you know, without the proper equipment, all of this stuff, you know, in other words, being able to be 100% prepared. Thankfully, the guys, I think you guys get to keep your cars, you know, the guys take their cars home, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that helps.
Well, okay, so good luck, gentlemen, and I guess call us when your ride is over. And what we'll do, Mayor Carl, is get your impression and tell us about your ride today.
This is part two of the ride-along interview with Mayor Papa of Gold Beach, and we're in the presence of a great group of people, but it's just the two of us that are going to be talking right now. So, Mayor, you've got to tell us what happened out there with Deputy Gray on the road during the ride-along.
Well, actually, it was really quite quiet. We didn't run into anything, and with the rain starting, that usually brings people more inside and less prone to be doing bad things outside. So we took off. We hit around the Sika Beach quite a bit and then came back into town and a few places that, you know, are known activities and what have you that we're just patrolling by. So, but we had a grand time. I had a grand time. You know, it's interesting because every time a police officer has somebody to ride with them, that infringes upon them a bit. By that I mean that car is their office. You know, that's where they spend their 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever the case may be. And when you take up one seat where you keep an awful lot of your office supplies, it makes. But bless his heart, he took it really, really, really well, and just had a very good time with him.
Can you remind us about your relationship and long-term friendship in a general way with Deputy Gray?
I've known his parents for a long time. In fact, his mom works here as well, too, Mary Ann Gray. And once again, he graduated with my daughter, Jordan. And that would be back in 1999, I think. Is when they graduated. And he's just a super kid. He's always been a super kid. So. Of course, he's in his 30s now, so I guess he really isn't a kid anymore, but unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, I still think of him as a kid, even if he is 6'5". And yeah, but
he's not a little guy.
He is not a little guy. No, he isn't.
And the here that Mayor Popov referred to it, we're at the Gold Beach Library, and thank you, Jeremy Skinner, for letting us use this special room and making this interview time available to us.
Yeah, and Jeremy, by the way, too, comes from a longtime family here. His grandfather is T.B. Skinner, who on at least two different occasions was a county commissioner here as well, too, so there are a lot of people that, you know, go back a ways and have some roots here. And, of course, I've only been here about 30 years, but I grew up in North Bend. And so I'm a longtime South Coast boy.
A lot of people consider law enforcement the sixth branch of the military. And we see these brave young men and women out there serving our county.
what can we do as individuals to let them know how much we appreciate what they're doing?
Give them the funds to operate by, for crying out loud. If you want to send those kids on out there and those young people and what have you, and even some of the older hands. When you have a county the size of ours being patrolled by right now 4 road deputies, and they've got one that is at the academy, but even when that person returns from the academy, they still have that training that they have to go to before or go through before they're allowed to take a car owned by themselves. It's dangerous. It is absolutely dangerous to only have that many deputies out for a county this size. And if you really want to show them how much you respect them, how thankful you are for them, then for crying out loud, make them safe. And how are you going to make them safe? You're going to make that sheriff's department strong. Simple as that.
And there, I think probably the main thing that I'm bringing away from this experience today, even though we had Brian Talung as the introducing interviewer today, what I'm taking away from that is the commitment. I see that profound commitment in those young men and how their commitment is lifelong. And when I hear Lieutenant Espinoza say, even after 23 years in law enforcement, that he gets up every day and is excited to put that uniform on, I have a part of me that's just as grateful that my freedom is protected here in this county by those young men and women as I do the military that protects our freedoms abroad. And
Jared is the same way. He loves the area. He grew up in the area. He had a job, and we were talking. Of course, we talked an awful lot during all that time. And he had a job up in Seattle that he was making somewhere in the neighborhood of $4,000 or better a month. All right. He gave that up because, quite frankly, he wanted to be home. He wanted to come back here. He loves the area. It is not unusual for him to put in a 10-hour day. Go to bed, hour later get called out. They're putting in, I don't know what sort of hours right now. And yet they do it. And they do it because of, they love what they're doing. But they're also concerned about the people that live within this county. They're there to protect us. And for people in the city to believe that they don't really need any county law enforcement, they're living some sort of a pipe dream because we rely upon each other a great deal. And again, real quickly, if that jail is not allowed to operate the way it's supposed to be able to operate, I don't care if you've got all the protection in the city you want. If all you can do is arrest them and take them to jail and then have them cited and released, all you've done is put them right back out on the street again. And unfortunately, that's pretty much what we're at right now, unless it's something very, very serious, cite and release. And the crooks know that.
And the hard part is community development and economic development go hand in hand. And as long as we don't have what we need in terms of law enforcement, then that prevents people from coming here for tourism and destination.
One of my arguments, yes. And the other one, too, and I, just for the ladies here that didn't hear this before, but our chief of police got a call roughly about 2 weeks ago now. And it was from a gentleman up in Portland who was looking at a pretty expensive property in Nasika Beach. But he had also been reading that we were having troubles in the county as far as funding, and most particularly the sheriff's department. So he phoned our chief of police and wanted to know, listen, if I have trouble out there, will you come and answer my alarm, so to speak? And the chief had to tell him no. Couldn't do it. We have only usually, many times, just one patrol officer on at a time. And we don't have 24-hour coverage either. So if we went out there, that pretty much leaves our city naked and open to any sort of thing that would happen. And they aren't paying for the protection that the people of this city are paying for. So in all good consciousness, unless it was something exceptionally dire, our chief could not send somebody out there. And so what people are forgetting is that if they want maybe one day to sell their home, the value of it without any law enforcement is not going to be probably what they think it's going to be. And the other thing, too, is the reliance that we have upon, as you broached, and I have as well, too, on this subject. We do rely an awful lot upon tourism now. And as I brought out before earlier, you know, if I know that there's no law enforcement, am I going to bring my family here to go camping? Am I going to take them up Agnes? Agnes is something else during the summer anyway. Why would I do that? You know, why would I subject them to danger that I'd just go someplace else where there is law enforcement? So I don't think that people really understand the full impact of what it means. You know, you can have your big dog, you can have your big gun, and that's fine. And I hope that you do. I mean, I honestly do. But there are instances, city people don't always stay in the city. A lot of times, lo and behold, they're out in the county. What happens if they get into trouble? What happens if they get into trouble? What happens if they have an auto accident? What happens if they're accosted out there? Who's going to come rescue them? The city police? Don't think so. Don't think so. Anyway, I've rambled on a bit, haven't I?
In a very good and positive way. And you sat on the Citizens Advisory Group,
yes,
and helped develop the information for the numbers for the split rate levy.
Right.
And that to me was an eye-opener because I went in there with no preconceived ideas. I'm one of those people that wants to hear the whole story and see how people are working to solve the problems. And when the sheriff's office decided that part of what we're doing is working towards that law enforcement district, all of a sudden, all of this made sense. That bridge levy and growing to that place where we have that law enforcement district. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the process and your feelings about creating that law enforcement district?
Well, the process, of course, was to begin with, that the sheriff contacted a few of us, including all three mayors, and then other citizens within the county, in the community. All of them very good people, very, very good people. And we had to sit down and over a series, and this is one of the things that I insisted upon, because in the past, people have complained, and many times rightfully so, that what the county was doing was, you know, they were doing kind of underground in the dark and people not knowing what the heck was taking place. So I insisted, and the others agreed to it, that whatever we did would be open entirely to the public, that nothing we were doing would be in any sort of secrecy, couched in any sort of secrecy whatsoever. And they were invited to each and every one of the meetings. They were allowed to speak their concerns. We hashed out over these numbers, trying to come up with the best thing. None of us wanted to see taxes raised. And we all knew that a levy, anytime it's a levy, it's going to fall upon the homeowner, the property owner. That's all there is to it. That's the only way you can fund these things. And none of us wanted that. But nevertheless, we also knew that the extreme danger of not having a strong sheriff's department. So we went from different communities. I hosted it twice, I think. We also had one in Port Orford, Harbor, Brookings, everywhere that we could. And we made sure that the paper knew, and we had reporter there so that they knew what we were doing. And it was interesting because a couple people came totally opposed to it. But they came. Bless their hearts, they came. And it's people like this I really, truly expect and respect. They didn't want it, but they were willing to listen. And a few of them afterwards, after a few of these meetings they went to, changed their minds and decided, yeah, well, we better do something, even if it costs us something a little bit more. And believe it or not, the people on that committee, in spite of what someone wrote in the a letter that they wrote in the pilot some weeks ago, that all of us were evidently rich and we could afford it, while there were so many that couldn't. I could only chuckle at that because I've been a minister. I've dealt with mostly inmates and people with very, very, coming from very difficult situations. And I am anything but rich. Whoever was writing that letter probably has a lot more than I do. So at any rate, it wasn't everybody that was rich and everybody that can afford it. It'll hurt me in that respect. It'll hurt me financially, but it'll help me in so many other ways. And it won't hurt that much financially either, I don't think. You know, that's the other thing that people, that was one of the problems we had, is trying to convey the fact that, no, it won't raise your taxes four times like we'd heard. You know, it's going to, none of us will be able to live here. You know, it's not that at all. It just, we worked on it because we knew the necessity of it and how important it was, not just to us, but to everybody that lives in this community, in this county, and the people that come here to visit. We want them safe, too.
One of the things that is going to be happening on April 23rd at Southwestern Oregon Community College is an ASG event. ASG stands for Associated Student Government. Mm-hmm. And the instructor, Skip Hunter, a very close friend of mine since he's my husband. is facilitating that, and we're going to have a law enforcement night. We're going to have several topics, and because it's a situation, there has to be both sides represented in talking about the issues. Right. But the first topic that we're going to talk about and our law enforcement panel is going to talk about has to do with the fact that July 1st, we're going to have legalized recreational marijuana. And so it's of concern to a lot of people that are young people and, you know, people of all ages understand those new laws and what that means. And then the second topic we're going to discuss has to do with the sheriff's levy. The hard part is finding somebody that's a proponent that's willing to come out and represent both sides of that. Of course, the third topic we're kind of going back and forth between talking about managing jail populations through mental health courts and veterans courts, mm-hmm. which, you know, is going to be very close to my heart. And then another one besides that, search and rescue. So I'm not as familiar with search and rescue and how they work with the sheriff's department. Can you let us know a little bit more about that?
You know, I'm not that terribly familiar with it as well either, except that it, generally speaking, you have volunteers who are trained in that, and they do go through training, quite a bit of training, in fact. And they have, in the past, been responsible, well, just not long ago, for that little boy, 2 years old, that was lost, I think, in Brookings, outside of the Brookings area. I believe it was Brookings. But they have done just super work in saving lives. It's easy. It's not unusual. A lot of times people will go on out here and they'll get lost. And unfortunately, if we did not have search and rescue, those people would remain lost, probably, and end up maybe dead or severely injured before someone could find them. And yet you have these people, these long search and rescue people, doing what they do strictly for the sake of helping somebody else and saving their lives. Search and rescue is an exceptionally important element of the Sheriff's Department.
There's a huge piece of that which brings it really back to understanding that we're a community. We really are all in this together. And when I hear that the three mayors come out and they work together to help solve problems that maybe aren't being addressed by the county or in conjunction with the county, it gives me a real appreciation for that grassroots democracy, that grassroots interrelationship that community is about. And I think probably one of the most rewarding things, and I came from the city in a way, but I've lived in multiple small towns. I lived on Lake Michigan in a very small town. I lived outside of Cincinnati in a very small town. This is not my first, and I lived in Northern California in a small town. I love small towns. I love the interconnectedness, and I love the accessibility of our leaders. And I have to say, Mayor Carl, you're one of those people that I feel like I can just be who I am, talk a straight talk with you, and you're going to give me a straight talk back. And I just so appreciate you being here today and doing this for all the right reasons. And thank you.
Well, thank you, Connie. I do want to say this about Mayor Hedenskog and Jim. This is the first time that I can ever recall. And of course, I was first elected in 2000. And this is the first time that I can ever recall the three mayors actually working together. We put aside everything else, and we have been there for one another this entire time, ever since 2012. That to me I just love those guys. I really do. They are just super, super people. They have the heart and the mind of service to their communities. Nothing that they're trying to get out of it for themselves. Now, I used to have a big joke, used saying, you know, that I got into it for the graft and corruption, but nobody has approached me yet. So at any rate, but the thing is that it's been a real pleasure to work with them. Like I said, once again, I think the world of them both. And I think that the cities, for the maybe with the exception of Gold Beach, they're being well served, and we're going to continue to work together to try to do the things that we think are right and try to help the county. We're not out there to try to undermine the county. We're out there hopefully to help.
One of the things that Mayor Hedenskog always brings to the table is a measure of relatability that is profound sometimes, because he can take where I'm pretty verbose, he can take something and shrink it down to about 5 words. And I remember saying to him when this first started, you know, this is a huge, huge problem. Where do you even start? And his comment to me was, well, if you're going to eat an elephant, you got to do it one bite at a time. And I thought, that's a Hedenskogism, if I ever heard a Hedenskogism.
That's just about as smart as he is, too. And
he's going to hear
it. Don't bring that
up. We may edit that out.
We enjoy ragging on one another, too. Jim Auburn, the mayor of Gold Beach, of Port Orford, and that's who I was referring to when I said Jim. But at any rate, he has a way of we each bring something a little bit different to the table. Mayor Auburn is real sharp, real, real sharp. He's a very smart man. I bring in the comic relief normally, and then Ron. He actually has some things that are, you know, occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally worth listening to. So between the three of us, we tend to enjoy each other's company, as we can go ahead and take turns ignoring one another. So it's really kind of nice. You're going to put that down, aren't you, Jim? Make sure you put a couple of LOLs after that, will you? Don't mess this up for me, pal.
I had a really
a time when I went out to support Mayor Auburn, and it was right after, or no, I think it was just before they had the election where they were
recall or what?
The recall. That's what I mean. The recall. And I went out and I spoke in his behalf. And he's a veteran, U.S. Navy retired.
Yes.
You're a veteran.
Yes.
Mayor Ron's a veteran.
Yeah.
So I know that Mayor Ron, I know his service history, and I know Mayor Auburn's service history, but I don't know anything about yours.
I was in the Navy for approximately, I went in right in after, in 1963, right after I graduated from high school. I spent roughly about close to 14 years active duty. I spent two tours in Vietnam. Now I'm considered 30% disabled because of Agent Orange and those things. Now, the two tours you have to remember were TAD, temporary additional. The Army calls them TDY, 2 6-month tours. Ostensibly, I was stationed in Japan at that time, but 6 months Japan, 6 months there, back forth. And then in 1972, I had orders back PCS for the third time. Okay, but then that was changed because the war was winding down at that time. So, at any rate, but for the grace of Christ, I would have been coming home in one of those silver aluminum caskets that greeted me as I pulled into Da Nang. So, and that's one thing I think about, vets, and particularly then, is that we love our country. We love our country.
And the heart of service goes on and on and on. I'm doing some math in my head here. You said you graduated in 1963. I graduated in 73. I'm about to turn 60, so that means you're either 70
month,
or about to turn 70. What's up
month,
with that?
This month.
This month? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's just different. What's your birthday?
Month. Yeah.
Are you going to tell us what day? Are you going to tell us what day?
Oh, yeah, it's the 29th if it means a gift.
Hey, so now we know. Well,
yeah, on the 29th, tail end of the month, and just 2 years ago, we celebrated North Bend our 50th anniversary, reunion, and that was fun, But I'm getting to be an old fart now, I guess. But still in pretty good shape, and as far as I tell everybody else, and I have yet to meet one person disagree with me, I'm still the cutest mayor in this state. Thank you, Jim. That was not the response I wanted. At any rate...
besides being cute, you crack us up. And
I enjoy having fun with people. I really do. And as far as being accessible, that's one thing that I've always believed with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm no better than anybody else out here. And I am fortunate. It's wonderful in a small city in one way. You know, in a larger thing, larger cities, I told Tom Potter once, the mayor of Portland at one time. I told him, I said, really, Tom, about the only difference between you and me is I have no place to hide. And it's true, because people feel very comfortable about phoning up their mayor in a smaller place. And I remember one call I got in the middle of the night was this lady who was upset and wanted to know what I was going to do about the house in front of her that was interfering with her favorite radio AM station. And I thought I had a clever answer. So I said, how many live in your place? Voting age. Just me. How many are in the house in front of you? Voting age. There's three. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a good channel if you can learn to listen to country and western. I'm like, I haven't heard from her since. And but bless her heart, I'm sure she's still carrying a grudge. And I also had a call. This is fun. Somebody phones me up and wants me to walk up and down the streets of Gold Beach, go to every hotel, and find out if the sea lions are bothering the guests like they're bothering him. But it's beautiful, because I love it. And the reason I love it is that people feel that free to be able to do that. They don't have to go through a whole bunch of red tape. They pick up my numbers in the book. They can pick up my number and then give me a call and say anything they want, and believe it, they do. They really do. And I like that.
Will you make me a promise, Mayor Carl?
Yes, ma'am.
well, can we have all three mayors together and do an interview and really start to understand the synergy and the chemistry between the three of you and the work?
I would love to do that. And I am going to be going to as many of the activities that you have, and also the ones that are conjunction with the sheriff's levy. That, you know, I noticed all the different things that are going to be taking place. And, of course, one I can't avoid anyway, because that's at my meeting on the 13th of April when we have our city council meeting. And hopefully we will be able to join the other two cities with a resolution supporting the law enforcement district. And I'm certainly hopeful that we can. It just, to me, it's kind of amazing. We've got, including myself, about four of the six of us have law enforcement experience, and two of them actually are retired from law enforcement. So I'm hoping that that's a good sign. But it's up to them. I don't want to pressure them. I want them to be able to make that decision on their own and to feel comfortable with it. But whatever decision they make, you know, I'll support that decision, yeah, because that's her prerogative.
Well, thank you. We're going to have to wrap it up, but I could talk with you all afternoon. Thank you for not being our guinea pig, but being our leader out there and riding along and giving us that perspective that we missed. And I want to mention that there is one more interview, and we did a jail tour recently, and you can get that on our website and download that podcast. So that's another interesting piece of the puzzle when it comes to looking at law enforcement in Curry County. So thank you for coming today and taking a big piece out of your Good Friday and being with us, Mayor Carl.
Oh, Connie, bless your heart. And I truly enjoyed it. It was my privilege. And anytime you need me, hon, you just let me know.
If you like this podcast, consider donating something. The sooner we can raise the money, the sooner we get on the air. Please go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you.